Dankie Here, kom ons sluit ons oë. Abba Vader, baie baie dankie vanoggend weer eens omdat ons hier in die huis kan wees waar ons U kan loof en prys en ons leef. Ons sê vir U baie dankie en ons is gesond. Baie dankie vir elkeen wat hier is en die ander gebou mense by die huis. Seën elkeen Here met net die beste, met alles wat goed is, want U is 'n Vader van liefde. U het die seën vir ons gegee, ons sê vir U baie dankie. So kan ons ook vir U teruggee. En ons loof en ons prys U awesome naam. Baie baie dankie in Jesus naam alleen. Amen.
Thank you for your generous participation in the offering this morning, and may God bless you richly. May He, according to your faith, be it unto you. Great to have you visiting with us this morning. So, there's this guy who has a huge, huge, huge gash in his arm, and the blood is just looping oralster. And he doesn't get help for it. Doesn't let anybody help him. He says, nee, gaan het uitsort, gaan het uitsort, gaan het uitsort. And he doesn't get any help, and eventually, I'm blue here, 8. I think the average human body has got about 7 pints of blood, or 7 liters, I think it's pints. Or what. And he just leaks out. He runs out of blood, and I'm there, when he could have got help. What I want to speak about this morning is something that I think is very prevalent and predominant in Christian circles. That somehow, people are reluctant to want to ask for help when you've been fellowshipping with the Lord for any given time. I think somehow in Christian culture we think, well, ek het my hart vir die Here gegee, ek het lidmaatskap opgeneem, ek is betrokke hier, so daarom is ek maar nou okay. Ek hoef nooit weer te vra vir hulp nie. I want to tell you this morning that there is a lie from the pit of hell. I want to tell you that there are various things that keep us from going to somebody and admitting that we need help. And we're going to look at some examples from Scripture where people that would today have otherwise weird or tainted reputation are recorded in the history of Scripture. God used them regardless of whatever issues it is that they had. And I want to look at that this morning. So I'd like to look at Psalms chapter 51. Let's get this machine started quickly. Psalm 51 and verse 17. And I battled from time to time to think of a title for the message. And I've just called this morning, Let God Fix Us. Is that okay? Let God Fix Us. So, there was this guy, the devil convinced him that as a man, if you had to go to somebody and ask for help, that jy al reeds 'n mislukking was. The devil convinced him, if you have to ask somebody for help, you are already a failure. So as a result, he would just not let anybody sort him out. And people would come and ask him about salvation and Christian issues and hartsake met Here, and he kept on saying, no, he's okay, he's okay, he's okay, he's okay. Until one day, God had to let him be broken before he let God fix him. Got to the point where he was driven to suicide. He was sitting on his bed, contemplating which gun is going to kill him quickest. He had an option of two. And then for the first time in his life, he cried out to Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, just come into my life, take control and take over. I cannot take this anymore. And then he was born again there and then, and his life has never been the same again. And that young man was me. The devil convinced me that as a man, if you have to go to somebody for help, that you're a failure. And that's not true at all. And as a result, I rejected the things of the Lord. And if people wanted to speak into my life, I'd say, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. In the meantime, I was already dead on the inside. And I think that case is true for a lot of people today, especially in Christian circles. I mean, let's face it, we spend most of our time on weekends around Christian people, especially on Sundays. And I think if we could allow the Lord to do a healing work in our hearts, our altar calls would look very, very different. En ek weet die pandemie waar onder onsself nou bevind, is daar nie altar calls, ons mag nie hande op mekaar lê en so on. But at altar calls, I think, would really, really look a lot different. And this passage of scripture is where David gets confronted by the prophet Nathan for arranging to have his friend murdered, and so that he could just do whatever he needs to do with Batsam. And then he gets convicted by the Lord, and he repents before the Lord. And amongst other things, in Psalm 51 and verse 17, it says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repented heart, O God. So this morning, I believe we need to understand that it comes a time in our life we need to have a broken spirit. What does it mean having a broken spirit? Like you need to stick in the menses, yeah, I'm a skin. Because I had to be completely broken before I let the Lord fix me. And sometimes it takes that. But it says the sacrifices you will not despise, that you will not reject, the sacrifice of somebody that has a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Contrite means laid low and down. We come before God. Nie in ons arrogantie nie, sê Jesus ek en ek's okay. But we come before God and say we acknowledge our need and our dependency upon you. One of the first steps to any significant healing, and I'm talking about significant healing, that enables us to walk in lasting victory is realizing we need God's sovereign intervention. Lasting victory and significant healing. It may be physical, I'm talking spiritually and emotionally here, is when we realize we need God's sovereign intervention. Baat julle daardeur deur die samesyn van gelowiges. Baat julle daardeur. Is daar benefit vir julle daarin? Daar is nie. Baat julle daardeur as jy 'n gesalfde boodskap van die Here hoor by ander gemeentes. Baat julle daardeur. Baat julle daardeur as jy 'n daaglikse devotional boekie het en jy lees 'n dagstukkie daarso en dit beteken iets vir jou. Kry julle benefit daaruit, nê? Maar al daai dinge het beperkings. Daar kom 'n tyd wanneer niks, nie een van daai goed 'n verskil kan maak in jou lewe. Is dit nie so nie? Daar kom 'n tyd waar jy na die Here toe moet gaan en sê, Here, hiersoos ek nou moet ek 'n goddelike insaai, 'n bonatuurlike iets moet gebeur in my lewe. And we receive real breakthrough when we realize that we need a godly intervention from God to align, to fix an issue in our lives. Living in denial or refusal to allow a restorative work of the Holy Spirit is destructive. Will you refuse to, nee, ek is okay. Sondag na sondag, maybe you hear an appeal, we say, okay, pray for this, pray for that. And you think, nee, ek is reg. Meantime, binnenin, is dit nie so nie. So living in denial or refusal to allow a restorative work of the Holy Spirit is destructive. And especially in church culture, we see people live as if it's a shame to admit they need help and end up never asking for help. And I believe the devil keeps people trapped in that place because of various kinds of deception. It's as if there's some written code that if you've been walking with God for a certain amount of time, you don't need prayer. Folks, if I, here, standing today, that has the absolute God-given privilege of sharing His Word with people that are willing to listen, if I don't let people speak into my life and feel that I'm beyond the need of help, I have no business standing here talking to you today. If I don't surround myself with other men that can speak into my life, if I don't surround myself with people that love me enough to tell me the things I don't want to hear, I have no business standing here today. Please don't think that whoever the spiritual leader is or the spiritual guide or mentor or whatever it is you want to call it in your life, the person who you follow in terms of spiritual things is beyond help. That's not true at all. I also have to be at the place where I surround myself with people that I'm willing to let speak into my life and say, Mabut, you're out of line. Let's pray together concerning this issue. And somehow it's as if there's some kind of a code where, for example, I'm the worship leader. I don't need prayer. Or whatever. I'm the care group leader. I don't need prayer. I don't need help. Where do we get that from? And I think it's a trap that the devil gets us into where we think these things. Now, granted, we're not meant to be spoon-fed our whole lives through. Hello. DeAndre Dalsall, Gaan jy nou, nadat jy klaar gemaak het by kerk, gaan jy omvat na die spoor toe vir 500 gram T-bone? No. Wat gaan jy vir hom gee? A bottle. Met baby formula or mother's milk, better still, or something. And he'll start off small. But if he's celebrating his 16th birthday, and he starts crying, Ma, where's my bottle? Dan sal 'n probleem. And sometimes it's like that with Christians. They've been walking with the Lord for several years, and then you moet jy steeds hulle neusies afvee, en hulle doeke omruil, en... No. Granted, we can't stay spoon-fed all the time, but here's the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, please. Everybody needs somebody sometime. Repeat after me. No, after me. Everybody needs somebody sometime. Even God is not alone. God is part of a team. Hello? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity. He's part of a team. He's also not a lone ranger that never needs anybody. He's part of a team. We are made to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We flourish when we're part of a team. Gaan na teleurstellinge wees? Ja. Gaan mense jou drop en in die rug steek? Ja. But don't try and distance yourself from people. It fascinates me how people think that they can function as a Christian separate from the body of God. I just don't see an example of that anywhere in Scripture. You can't. You can't. Everybody needs somebody sometime. Can you say amen? All right. We are stronger together. A little example. In my mind, I was thinking about that sermon illustration about the guy with the bleeding arm and bleeding to death. But this morning, something practical happened outside, which was so lekker. I'm not going to mention the make of the motorcycle in case people get hurt and offended. But there was a brother in the Lord that just needed some help finding something on his motorcycle. And he's like kicking like this and up and down, and they kry niks nie. So somebody asks him, do you need help? And he could have said, no, I'm fine. My trots kon ingeskop het. No, ek's a biker. For myself uitsort, ek ken mos my eisterperd. Ek weet mos, he admitted that he need help. So guess what? In minutes, we sorted the issue out. He was looking for a particular screw. He said, I think this is probably what we need to turn to make this thing. Mwah. He could have just said, no, I'm fine, thank you. Why? Simple example like that. You know, folks, if somebody says to you, aye, hoe gaan het met jou? Is jy okay? It's okay to say, nee, yes, ek's op a bad plek, man. Ek sukkel bietjie. And you know, you don't always have to have an answer. You know, in Bible Sataya, we're actually living in Bible Sataya. You and I are busy writing the book of Acts. So ons is in Bible Sataya. Maar in vroeger Bible Sataya, when they used to hire mourners when somebody reached their expiry date, their sell-by date, and ticked off all the things on the bucket list, and they pass on. They graduate. They'd hire mourners to come and be with the family om vir 'n sekere getal dae, ek dink was 7 or whatever, afhangend van hoeveel geld jy gehad het om hulle te betaal, om te huil. Just to cry with you. You were not allowed to counsel the grieving people at all. Jy kon nie na hulle toe gegaan het en sê, hoorie, ek voel nie die Here sê vir my die en daai, of hulle na jou toe kom sê, wat gaan ek doen sonder vehicle? Hulle kon nie vir jou gesê, well, do this and that, step A, B, C, bid this, pray that, read it. Jy moes nes daar gesit het en geluister het en saam met hulle gehuil het. That's all. And sometimes it's okay just to have somebody like that. Very, very recently I had an incident where somebody spoke to me about an issue. And they poured their heart out and shared their struggles and cried or whatever the case may be. You know what counsel I gave them? Nothing. I had nothing to say. I had no answer. And at the end of the conversation they said, baie, baie dankie, Mozzie. And I thought to myself, ja, dankie vir wat? Wat het ek vir jou gedoen? A listening ear. That's it. Even if it's just that you need, my brother, my sister, Everybody needs somebody sometime. The only person ever to be kicked out of heaven was a worship leader. How are you doing, Louis? The only person ever to be kicked out of heaven was a worship leader. Because of what? Hierdie eenste ding wat ons bespreek. Trots. Pride. Satan. Lucifer was his name. Was the worship leader in heaven. And he got proud. And if we think, ek gaan nie vir iemand vra nie vir hulp. Satan's got you exactly where he wants you. Trapped by pride. So everybody needs somebody sometime. Prediker. Hoofstuk 4, vers 9 tot 12, sê die volgende. Two people are better off than one. For English speaking, it's Ecclesiastes. Two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Hallelujah. But how can one be warm alone? Last night I wanted to put my hand on my wife and I was trying to find her, like, where are you? She says, I'm right here, I can feel your hand. I said, yeah, but I can't feel you because I can't understand this in you and the conversation. Because she covers herself like 16 blankets. I want to like feel some flesh, man. Yeah. Anyway, Mozzie, get back to preaching. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You check it in the movies. They like stand back to back and one's pointing gun this way and they're just like gunning it or else. And they can stand and protect each other. It's a scriptural principle. They can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. My brothers and sisters, it is okay to say I'm not okay and receive help into your life. There's absolutely no shame in needing the care and nurturing that the body of Christ can give, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. That's why we have pastoral fraternals, pastors' small groups, omgeergroepe, where we get together and ask each other, how's it going? How's it going in your marriage? How's it going in your sex life? How's it going with your finances? How's it doing with you? How's it going with your community? We discuss things like that. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, really? Yeah. Woody, as jy 'n lem vat en jy sny hierdie pols hier so net, die bloed wat gaan uitkom is ook rooi. We're not some subspecies that doesn't need what the body, the benefit that the body of Christ brings. I need my preaching, I want to say just as much as everyone else, more than everyone else. Because I've got to be living it out before I can preach it. I need to apply the messages that I believe God gives to myself, to my life, all the time. I mean, if I feel I'm sickening, I've got to be able to pick up a phone to a brother and say, but yes, man, let's have a cup of whatever together. I can help nodig, man. I'm battling here, man. Come help me here. We need that all the time. Now, here's the deal. This woman, the thing that she's known for, the thing that she's famous for, is something that I submit to you, baie van ons sal oorskaam wees vandag. But she's famous because of that very, very thing in scripture. Wie van julle se lewensverhaal is geskrewe in die heilige boek? Hers is. Something that we would probably be ashamed of today. She's famous for. You see, that's how God sees it. The person I'm talking about, and men, it was a woman. God knew what he's talking about because I can praat word. As I can praat met word. I'm just joking here. Listen to this blabbermouth this morning. The first evangelist ever was a woman. And the thing she was famous for is the churches she planted. Her generosity and charity, good deeds to the needy. For the sermons she preached. For the amount of people she led to the Lord. No. You know what she was famous for? The fact that she was delivered of 7 demons. Imagine having that reputation. The person I'm talking about is Mary Magdalene. In Mark 16 and verse 9, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. That's what Mary Magdalene is known for. First person to see Jesus, and then she then ran and told the other disciples, he's risen, being the first evangelist. What is she known for? Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. How many of you, you slate on by Nieuwe Kerk and say, hi, Vishay, vertel me van your achtergrond. No, I've done die and die and die and die and die. Oh, okay. Cheers. It's nothing to be ashamed of, say, these are the things that God has delivered me of. This is what the stuff that God has given me victory over. That's what we can say. Our boasting can be in the things that God has delivered us of. I'm not sure we'd be willing to share the fact that we were possessed by demons. Admitting to needing help and being willing to receive it is humility. God can work with the humble. Jacobus 4 in verse 6 says, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Jesus extends this beautiful invitation in the scripture. Matthew 11, from verse 28 to 30. And he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. What Jesus was speaking about specifically there was the religious folk of the day. I forget the exact amount of laws and regulations that they had. I don't know, 400 and something. I stand to correction on that. Boerbehalwe die 10 gebooie. Laws and rules and regulations that they put on each other to try and live right. Jy kon skaars beweeg het voordat jy een van hulle oortree het. And according to the law, if you're guilty of one aspect of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. It was so ridiculous. I've shared the example like this before. Jy kon nie gewerk het op die Sabbatdag nie. The rest day, Sabbath day. Okay? We as Christians today, we celebrate our Sabbath is in Jesus. Every day we can find peace and rest in Jesus. The particular day that you observe it is relevant, but it's important to have a day in a 7-day period where you rest. Hello? It doesn't have to be on a specific day. Some incorrect doctrines that unless it's held on a certain day, God's going to be angry with you. That's nog a religious rule and regulation. Hulle was so erg oor hierdie Sabbatdag ding. If you spat while you were walking, you were guilty of breaking the Sabbath, and you needed to be subject to stoning. Why? Because your spit hits the ground, and the spit moves the soil. And because it moves the soil, it was considered work. Therefore, you're guilty of the Sabbath. Therefore, you moet gestenig word. Stupid. And because of these rules and regulations, Jesus said, my yoke and my burden is not like that. Because the burden of the law was placed on them. Like, hierdie swaar ding. Imagine coming to church. Jy moet jou bike 'n sekere manier park. Hy moet in 'n sekere rad wees. Die handlebars moet 'n sekere rigting wys. Your car has to be spaced a certain distance. Dan as jy inkom, moet jy op 'n sekere manier loop. You got to dress a certain way. You got to say a certain thing. How many of you would remember all of that? Yeah, come on, man. And that's why Jesus is saying, come to me. This kind of stuff is heavy law, the burden of law. We can't carry it. Come to me. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. I'm humble and I'm gentle in heart, and I will give you rest. And he says, come to me. So this morning, God is using me to say, I want to say to you, my brother, my sister, wherever you are at, come to the Lord. Come to a fellow brother or sister in the Lord. Now granted, you can't just go to anybody and everybody. Find somebody that you can trust in. Somebody that you know, you can tell them that you are possessed with 14 demons and they won't love you any less. Somebody that won't look at you in a lesser light. And then make yourself accountable to such a person. And say, you know, I need help. Pray with me in this particular area. May we be willing to make ourselves completely. Look. This is better. May we be willing to make ourselves completely vulnerable. Completely vulnerable, transparent before the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's beautiful, isn't it? Psalm 139. Also, David. You see, David's the kind of man that could organize to have a guy killed so that he could be with that guy's wife. David's the kind of guy that could commit adultery, but he's also the kind of guy that could quickly go on his knees and say, God, I'm sorry. Help me. The only man in Scripture of whom God says he was a man after my own heart. If I was God, I would have chosen somebody else. I would have chosen somebody with a clean track record. Wouldn't you? God says, this oak, I can work with him. Abraham, he gets so bummed. He somehow lies that Sarah is not his wife. He says, no, this is just my sister. Because he was afraid that they'd attack him and kill him for her. I mean, what's the type of character? The oak's like spineless, man, and yellow-livered. Wimp. God says, you're the father of many nations. Why? Because you've got faith. God sees that we can come to him, admit that we need help, and say, Lord, this is it. So, in closing, to practically apply this to our lives, wat beteken dit? Say, let God fix us. Can we be transparent, open, and vulnerable this morning with each other? Can we do that? If you're at a place here this morning, watching online at home, folks next door, you realize, Lord, there's something that I've been struggling with, and I've never, ever asked anybody for help. My brother, my sister, today is your day. Today is your day where I believe God is calling you to make yourself accountable to somebody. That's why we have care groups where we get together, where we can just do life together and make ourselves accountable to each other and speak into each other's lives. First and foremost, as the deep end comes up, I'd like for them to lead us in a time of worship as we close off one more time. Ask yourselves these questions. What are some of the factors that are keeping you from asking for help? What are some of the factors? And the question that you can ask yourself is, what makes the help of others so effective as described in that portion of Scripture in Prediker, in Ecclesiastes, about two being able to help each other and to conquer together and a three-stranded cord? What makes the help of others so effective? And then the last question I want you to ask yourself is, what is stopping you from asking for help? If it's the possibility of shame, wat gaan die mense van my dink? Well, you know how much importance we should place on what people think compared to what God thinks? Nothing, folks. We should be living with having concern for the opinion of one. God's mind for you. So this morning, if you're at a place where you're battling with something and you've never asked anybody for help, my encouragement to you is, first and foremost, let's pray that prayer together from Psalm 139. Right there where you are, do business with the Lord. As we pray before the Lord and we say this together in your heart, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And I want you to pray along these lines as you realize that issue that you've been struggling with. Would you take a moment or two and ask God to give you wisdom as to how and with whom to share that with? And Lord, as people just take time meditating on you and acknowledging their dependency upon you, I pray that any lie of shame from the devil would be canceled in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you give them a revelation that all their shame was nailed to the cross with Jesus at Calvary, and he paid the price for all of our shame. He's taken all of our shame, Lord. The burden of guilt and shame, he's taken it from us. And Lord God, may we all see that everybody needs somebody sometime. May we be willing to receive and accept the helping hand of loved ones around us that really, really care for us. May we reach out, Lord God, and allow people to speak into our lives. And as we pray together, pray along these lines with me in your heart as well, please. As we say, Father, would you forgive me for being proud? Would you forgive me, Lord God, for being self-righteous and thinking I'm okay when I'm not okay, Lord? And Father, if I am okay, then that's also okay. But if I'm not, Lord God, would you forgive me for pridefully thinking that I can do without anybody's help? Lord God, I just pray for a healing, restorative work in people's lives as we pray this together as your people this morning. Thank you that you bring us breakthrough and victory as we learn to be able to trust and depend on others, Lord God, also from time to time as and when needed. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord one more time together, and we'll pray the final prayer of blessing over you before we send you on your way.